Let us read together from the Holy Word of God. It's on the second page of your sheets. There's two readings. The first one is from the Gospel according to Luke chapter 22. We'll read from verse 31 to 38. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day, before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. And he said unto them, When I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? And they said, Nothing. Then said he unto them, But now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you, that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. And they said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. And he said unto them, It is enough. And the second reading is the Gospel according to John, chapter 18, and verses 4 through to 11. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? This is in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Judas came with the rulers to apprehend him. They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, Whom seek ye? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake, Of them which thou gavest me have I lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it, and smote the high priest's servant, and cut off his ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, Put up thy sword into the sheath, the cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Thus far the reading of God's holy word. The word I desire to bring before you is on the end of our first reading, Luke 22 and verse 38, the last part of that verse, and he said unto them, It is enough. And it is specifically the words that our Lord said, It is enough. Our Lord is speaking these words to his disciples at the time of the Passover in the upper room before he was to suffer. And he was preparing them for what they would meet with, not just immediately when he was to be numbered with the transgressors, when they saw him crucified and slain, but also later on in their ministry. He asked them how it was when he first sent them out while he was with them. He sent them without purse and scrip and shoes, and he asked them, did they lack anything? And they said, nothing. Obviously, their needs had been supplied by those that had received them, and they had not need to bring the things of themselves. But he says, now I say unto you, and now it is going to be different. Now they're going to need a purse and a scrip. And he even mentions regarding a sword. Now really, the Apostle Paul, we know that in his ministry, that he had no certain dwelling place, especially in ministering to the Corinthians. He ministered with his own hands. He wouldn't take anything of them. He was a tent maker. They were in a very different situation, and they had much opposition, much hostility. Many times they were to be taken, imprisoned, persecuted, stoned, beaten. The things that they were to come against, the Lord is intimating this to them. Now he's going to give them an illustration. And for that illustration, he needs a sword. And he mentions the sword here, intimating the opposition, the adversaries that they shall have. But when they say, behold, here are two swords, he says it is enough. Now obviously for what was coming, if they were really to fight, it would not be enough. The 12 apostles, are two going to use the swords and the others fight some other way? But it's enough for the Lord's purpose, because he is going to teach them this lesson that then unfolds in the passage we read in John. And if we'd have read further with Luke, we would have found that as well. But when they came to apprehend the Lord Jesus Christ, then Peter, he having the sword, he drew it, smote the high priest's servant, cut off his ear. Now we know the Lord later, he healed that servant. But here our Lord then says to Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath, the cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? And this was a vital lesson for the apostles when they went forth. Instead of when they had opposition, of resisting it, of fighting, of using swords, they were to remember this word of Peter. Put up thy sword into the sheath. You, my disciples, will have a cup as well to drink. And you also will have to say the same. The cup which my heavenly Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? The Lord had a need for these swords to teach a lesson, to instruct them, and a lesson really which they needed all their ministry and their life through, and you and I need as well. How many times the Lord has needed perhaps over our life to speak this word to our soul. Put up thy sword within its sheath. Don't fight. Don't resist. See the cup that your heavenly Father has given you to drink. And so, what is on my spirit is this word. It is enough. It's not just this occasion here that this word applies to. Right through Scripture, we see how the Lord has used things just enough to achieve his purpose and no more. And we are to remember these lessons as well. And I just want to bring just a few of them before you this morning. The time that we dwell in a place. The children of Israel, they left Egypt, and yes, there was a time that they had to spend there. And they went then into the wilderness and to Mount Sinai. And there they received the law of God and the pattern of the tabernacle, and they had to dwell in that place for nearly 2 years. But the Lord says to them, "Ye have dwelt long enough in this mount." And it was then time for them to move on. Long enough for have done what needed to be done there. The giving of the law, the making of the tabernacle, whatever needed to be done, it was done, and then they could move on from there. Maybe you remember that, and maybe you can look back over your lives that there's been places that you have been brought to, and the Lord has said it is enough. You've spent enough time here. What is accomplished, what is meant to be done, is done. And now you move on from here. Our Lord later on in the Garden of Gethsemane, or in fact before the second reading here, he had the time that the sins of all his people were laid upon him, where he sweat those great drops of blood, where he prayed to his Father. The disciples, they could not watch with him 1 hour. They were sleeping for sorrow. But then he comes to them and he said, "It is enough. The hour is come." How long should the Lord spend in the Garden of Gethsemane? It was very necessary that he do spend some time there. But how long? Enough time. Enough that there the sins of his people should be laid upon him. Enough time it should be seen the disciples, they couldn't bear that burden with him. They couldn't watch, not 1 hour. And there may be many things that were done there that we really do not apprehend or can fully enter into. But the Lord is able to say, "It is enough. It is enough. The hour is come." And so he then is willing and he goes. And he goes to the cross. May we look upon those things in our life as well as time spent in a place that if we're still to continue there is not yet enough time. There's still things that are being done with us here below. The day of grace. When the work of grace is done, when the time is ready, the Lord will bring his dear people home to himself, but not before. We think of the afflictions that we have. We read in the scriptures of the woman with the issue of blood, 12 years. We read of the man at the pool, 38 years at the pool. Each one of them, their afflictions came to an end. As if the Lord said, "It is enough. 12 years, enough. Heal her. 38 years, enough. Heal him." And we know in our lives those times of affliction that have come. And then the Lord has put a thus far and no further. And he's given healing. He's given respite to it. Why the length of time that there was? The Lord saw that there was a need, that for those 10 years, or however many years it was, or however many months, or even weeks, that we were afflicted. But when it has done its work, when he's accomplished his purpose, he says, "It is enough," and then move on. May it be a help to us to bear our afflictions and our path and the time that we have spent under these things. The Lord is in control, and he sees while he holds us there, it is not yet enough time. But when it is, then he will deliver us out of it. We think of dear Jacob when Joseph was in Egypt. He'd made himself known to his brothers and given them a charge, given them the wagons and everything to bring his father, his whole household, to be with him in Egypt. But poor Jacob, when they first came to him, he couldn't believe it. His heart just fainted within him. He couldn't believe that his son, after these 20 years, was alive. But then when he heard the words of Joseph that they conveyed to him, and he saw the wagons, where did they get all these wagons? Where did they get all this provision that Joseph had given for his father? And when he saw all these things, we read that the spirit of Jacob revived. And Israel said, "It is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die." It was enough evidence. Many of us, we may struggle with unbelief, struggle with doubts. We want an evidence, we want a token, we want that to rest on, to trust in. And the Lord knows, as he did with Jacob, what would be enough to bring us to believe and to trust and to venture as dear Jacob could then, to go with his sons and to go down into Egypt. And so Jacob was able to say, "It is enough." How many times in our life has the Lord been pleased to give us those things, convince us of our sin, teach us of the Saviour, show us our interest in him, and we have said, "It is enough." When we have ventured in the way of church membership or baptism or in service, in ministry, and the Lord has given us enough to show us his will, make us willing. John, in his gospel, he says that there are many, many things that Jesus did that are not written in this book, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that in believing ye might have life through his name. In other words, there is enough written to be savingly effectual for the people of God. Enough written. It is enough. We think of chastening. Every one of God's dear children will be chastened and corrected. There's no man that doeth good and sinneth not. And there is no son that the Lord receives that he does not chasten. But what is enough chastening? The Lord does enough to bring his people to be exercised. And those that walk through that path, that the chastening is not pleasant but grievous. Yet afterward, there is an afterward. It yieldeth the peaceable fruits of righteousness to them that are exercised thereby. When David and Israel was chastened, when David numbered Israel, then the angel, after those 3 days of destroying, he said, "It is enough." 70,000 were slain in Israel over 3 days. We may have had that over nearly a year of the virus, but they had it in 3 days. But there came a time the Lord said that it is enough. There's one solemn thought I'd leave just before with you as we close. And that is with Esau. When Jacob came and met him, and the Lord gave them peace, and the Lord gave, or Jacob was to give Esau those presents. But Esau wouldn't receive them. He said, "I have enough, my brother." Well, yes, he had enough of the earthly goods But he didn't have grace, he didn't have Jacob's God, and yet he thought he had enough. When we are thinking of, do we have enough? May we not measure it in earthly things, but in the blessings of the Lord. Do we know our sin enough to make the Saviour precious and needed? Some think, oh, I've got to have great depths of conviction of sin. But what is necessary is just enough to make Christ precious. And to know just enough of Christ to make him the one thing needful. We always say, I without him perish must. It is not the greatness, the volume, but it's enough. Enough of real saving faith, eternal life, the gift of life through our Lord Jesus Christ. That is enough to die by. To die resting and leaning solely upon Christ. May we truly discern then that we have enough. The Lord said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. It is enough. You do not need more. And the saving grace of God and faith in Christ is enough. Enough to live. Enough to die by. So may the Lord bless this word, give you further meditation through the day upon it. It is enough. It is enough. May it be the Lord's word to you this morning.